Hi everyone, welcome back to Mastering Defence Infrastructure. I'm Jessica Bottlebrush, and as always, I'm joined by the ever-practical Darian Macy. How's it going today, Darian?
Fantastic, Jess. Nice to be back after that deep dive we did on geographic and environmental risks last week. I'm still mulling over all the ways Mother Nature manages to mess with defence, but today we're focusing on the human factors, yeah? Stakeholder and coordination risks. Classic, thorny territory for defence projects.
Exactly. If you've listened to previous episodes, you'll know we talk a lot about technical risks, procurement headaches, but let's be honest, it's usually the people stuff. Stakeholders, coordination, communication, that really makes or breaks a project. Today we're unpacking those risks and hopefully giving everyone more confidence to tackle the messy human side of defence infrastructure.
Yeah, and not just theoretically. We're pulling out real practical strategies. You'll hear us talk about aligning interests, dealing with legacy facilities, the proper use of collaboration platforms, and then we've got a scenario at the end to tie it all together, just like what you'd see in a proper project-based risk workshop.
So if you're managing a team, running design reviews, or just trying to keep peace between unit commanders and local councils, this episode's for you. Right, shall we get stuck into stakeholder engagement first?
Absolutely. And before we go deep, let's set the scene. Defence projects, by design, are stakeholder jungles. You've got your end user units. You imagine the Army wants a certain kitchen. Air Force wants a totally different tech spec. Base commander wants minimal disruption. Then you've got environmental regulators, Indigenous reps, local councils, and a stack of internal governance stakeholders. Each one's got a different version of success.
Yeah, and I always find it helps to map this early. In some of my early projects up north, we'd have unexpected voices pop up halfway through, like a heritage officer who'd been left out, and suddenly we're scrambling to redesign around cultural artifacts. Or the local council didn't get briefed, so they're blocking road access on a key delivery week. Disaster.
I've definitely been there. Look, the crucial thing is alignment. If everyone's aiming for the same goal, or at least not aiming against each other, you massively reduce late surprises. It starts with being crystal clear about project scope and expectations. Get everyone in the same room early. And crucially, document everything. I can't tell you how many times a design intent is agreed verbally and then gets fuzzy by month three.
Or when someone leaves and the new rep's like, wait, we never signed off on that. That's where stakeholder analysis comes in for me. Plot them all, figure out their influence and what would make them push back. Prioritize your time. High influence folks need more touch points, but don't completely neglect the low influence ones either. They tend to pop up at the worst moments.
And let's not forget about early and honest risk disclosure. If there's a chance of finding, say, contaminated soil or a tight schedule because of a major unit rotation, just say it up front. It's always better to have that tough conversation in week one rather than just before the bulldozers roll in.
Absolutely. Defence contexts bring extra wrinkles too, like security requirements on live bases or working out Indigenous protocols if a project site could be culturally significant. It isn't just a nice to have. If you get that stuff wrong, projects can grind to a halt or worse, cause lasting reputational damage.
So, in practice, to me, the rhythm is map, align, communicate, then keep it all going. It's ongoing, not a single workshop, but routine touch points as the project unfolds. And always document every key agreement. It sounds dry, but it's the safety net when institutional memory gets short.
Couldn't agree more. And just to tie back to something from our strategic positioning episode, it really is about building relationships over the long haul, not just ticking boxes this week. Stakeholder engagement done early and done right saves pain and builds trust that'll pay off for years, not just for that one project.
Right, onto the coordination minefield. This is where even a brilliant design or stakeholder plan can come unstuck. Because as defence projects get more complex, you end up with so many hands on deck. Architects, engineers, base infrastructure staff, consultants, contractors, the works. If those pieces don't fit, you get errors, costly rework, and the dreaded, we didn't spot that clash until after install.
And in defence, the old infrastructure factor is huge. Like, you're often tying in with buildings that are 40, 50, sometimes 70 years old. Drawings are missing or wrong or just cryptic. I still shudder thinking about that mess refurb, where we found an unmapped sump halfway through a concrete pour. If you don't factor in enough contingency and upfront investigation, it hurts.
That's where we rely on systematic approaches, regular multidisciplinary design meetings, detailed role mapping, and ideally digital tools like BIM. Clash detection in 3D models has saved my teams so many times. The trick, though, is not just buying the software. It's making sure everyone actually uses it. And there's a culture that encourages picking up the phone and saying, "Hey, I see a clash here. Can we talk it through?"
Yeah, which is why I think on defense bases, co-locating teams or at least having frequent video stand-ups makes a world of difference. Also, defense operations don't stop for us, right? There's always training on or a base event. So construction needs to be flexible around those with careful phasing. I've never once seen a project stick 100% to plan without needing to sequence around a last-minute exercise or high-priority operation.
It's essential to factor in those live base impacts from day dot. Engage the base ops team, understand their annual rhythm, and build in scheduling flex. And with concurrent projects, which happens more with the big defense programs now, communication becomes a cross-product game too. Sometimes you get these unintentional domino effects when two projects share infrastructure or access roads without a single coordination manager overseeing it all.
Yeah, and don't overlook the unknown unknowns, especially with legacy buildings. That means contingency for everything: asbestos, the wrong plans, heritage elements you didn't clock up front. I always try to take the base maintenance team on a walk early. They usually have the off-the-books knowledge you need.
Tools matter. EDMS for document control, proper versioning, and real-time access to up-to-date info. But above all, proactive communication and a bit of humility. If a problem pops up, fix it together. No finger pointing, just a "how do we make this work" attitude. That's honestly what gets projects delivered more than anything else.
All right, so if you're listening and thinking, "Great, but how do I actually keep everyone on the same page day to day?" This is where your comms and collaboration strategy kicks in. Frankly, it's what keeps the wheels on. For me, it starts with the basics. Clear stakeholder engagement plans, regular meetings, and open feedback loops. If someone's worried about a change, they should have a structured way to flag it early.
And Jess, you mentioned earlier about the rhythm. I reckon regularity is everything. Monthly stakeholder forums, weekly design coordination meetings, daily stand-ups on site if you're in construction, plus written updates. Even if nobody reads every newsletter, just seeing regular updates builds trust.
Yeah, that transparency piece is vital. I always say bad news early is way better than bad news late. If you're cutting a feature due to budget, let users know as soon as possible and explain why. It might sting, but you keep the trust. And with external stakeholders, it's the same. Community info sessions, local council updates, keep it in plain English, ditch the jargon, show visuals wherever you can. Never underestimate a good diagram for defusing a tense meeting.
Absolutely. And internally, you want robust tools that suit your team and context. Teams, Slack for instant chats, Akinex or SharePoint for documents, maybe even stakeholder portals if you're running a larger program. But it's got to be organized. Otherwise, there's a real risk of information overload, or worse, key info getting lost in an endless email trail.
Definitely. It also comes back to culture, fostering openness and rewarding people for raising issues, not hiding them. I've seen teams do lessons learned sessions every couple of months, just a simple chat about what's working and what's painful in current comms. It keeps things fresh and responsive. And don't forget, tailor how you update different stakeholders. Military commanders might want concise visual briefs. Indigenous reps might value longer, more relational engagement. If you take time to match your approach, you'll get much better buy-in.
One last thing from me, make sure responsibility is clear. Who is driving stakeholder comms? Who's keeping the risk register alive and actioned? If everyone thinks someone else is doing it, nothing happens. Assign roles, make them visible, and follow up. That way, no balls get dropped, especially as people or priorities change through the life of the project.
So the pattern is, have robust channels, use them, and focus on relationships as much as information. The tools are only ever as good as the communication culture you build around them. It's what underpins everything from day-to-day ops to those crisis-averted moments.
Before we wrap up, let's recap key takeaways. Stakeholder and coordination risks aren't just background noise. They're front and center in defense infrastructure projects. Early stakeholder mapping and two-way engagement, tailored communication, clear roles, investing in coordination processes like BIM, and anticipating the quirks of legacy defense infrastructure. It all matters. And of course, building flexibility in your planning and communication to handle change and operational realities on base.
And let's not forget, always keep your risk register live, make your documentation count, and champion open, honest feedback. Most issues we've seen blow up on site started as misunderstandings or unvoiced concerns way earlier. If you've been listening through the season so far, that should sound very familiar.
Exactly. And remember, every defence project will throw some curveballs. Your job is to create a structure where those get caught early, not swept under the rug. Next week, we'll move deeper into contract management, but in the meantime, keep those coordination and stakeholder engagement muscles flexed. It'll make the rest far smoother.
Thanks for tuning in today. Darian, always a pleasure to hash this stuff out with you.
Pleasure's all mine, Jess. Always good banter and even better lessons. Thanks, everyone. Looking forward to next time.
See you next episode.